1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to America's longest running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show at 222-1180, star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers, or the One Communications line at 1-800-295-1180. Now alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on 50,000-watt 1180 WHAM.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Sunday, the 5th of April, Anno Domini 2009, and you lucky people. You're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Wright.
And I'm Alex Vanderweil.
And at 6 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, stuff you can lose, things to choose, all of that other stuff. I'll apologize in advance. I am still
a little congested.
I'm a little congested. I'm still in the throes of a cold I've had all week, so I may be going away for a minute here and there, but I'll try to.
It won't go far.
I'll try to bear up under it. All right, let's start with the news that seems to be on everybody's mind and lips and heart and wallet. Last Tuesday, March 31st, Business Week's online edition, I had a news article that said Time Warner is planning to test usage-based internet access in several cities. Austin, Texas, Beaumont, Texas, San Antonio, Texas, Greensboro, North Carolina, and good old Rochester, New York. Starting now, Time Warner will be collecting usage statistics on their customers before they roll out their usage-based fee structure. Sometime this summer, customers will be charged from $29.95 to $54.90 a month based on data consumption and desired connection speed. Customers will be charged $1 for each gigabyte over their plan's cap. Time Warner Cable offers four cap levels of 5, 10, 20, and 40 gigabytes per month. A download of a high-definition movie typically eats up about 8 gigabytes. A recent report suggests that a family on the 40-gigabyte plan that streams 7.25 hours of online video a week, which is just a fraction of the 60 hours Americans spend watching TV in a week, could end up spending $200 per month on broadband usage fees. And that's just for video viewing before factoring in such internet activities as music downloads and photo sharing. Time Warner says most people are not using that much data. The company's trial in Beaumont, Texas lasted several months. Of the 10,000 broadband customers enrolled, about 25% of the company's total for Beaumont, about 14% exceeded their cap and had to pay additional fees that averaged about $19 a month. Time Warner Cable also discovered that the top 25% of users consumed 100 times more data than the bottom 25% of users, suggesting an enormous gap in usage patterns. However, the Business Insider predicts capped Roadrunner customers could see monthly bills of over $200 for internet access. Oddly, many Time Warner customers seem just a tiny bit unhappy about this. The unprecedented number of responses to the stories on the local news websites range from the mild to the psychotic, but it would be safe to say that the overwhelming feeling is outrage. There's a whole lot more.
Of course there is.
There's a whole lot much more in-depth information available at stopthecap.com. That's stopthecap.com. Steve will be putting that.
That already has been there from the Frontier Caps, and I can't get on the internet at the moment.
He'll work on that in a moment.
It's interesting. They're sort of doing it a little better than Frontier did when they tried to sneak a 5-gig cap into the terms of service.
Right.
At least they're going to study what the usage patterns are before they decide on caps.
It's just everybody crank up your BitTorrent.
Right.
That's BS.
Right. Well, and the one quote
they just
I read,
want the stockholders to get more money. That's bottom line.
The one quote I read from a Time Warner official went back to the old standby. Well, 5 gigs a month is 1 million email messages, or one movie,
or half of one movie.
Yeah.
It's an interesting problem. You know, if you were to have dial up and ran it 24/7, you'd get 36 gigs a month. I'm just saying. So that's our poll of the week.
Well, hopefully they will give you some sort of meter to know when your internet usage.
Well, they're talking about that now. Where do you get that meter? Who do you trust?
And how do you differentiate between your LAN traffic and your WAN traffic?
Right. So it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out. If you want to discuss that, of course, this is the place to do it. Give us a call. You know our numbers. We also have a poll of the week at soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y. Francis would like to remind you. The poll of the week is, how do you feel about Roadrunner's usage cap? Excuse me. And the choices are, I can live with it, I don't have Roadrunner, I'll quit Roadrunner, and I don't know, and I don't care. So far, we've got about 91 91. 43% of you say you'll quit Roadrunner. 37% of you don't have Roadrunner. 20% of you can live with it. None of you say you don't know and you don't care. So do that. And when you're done with that, of course, I know you're going to have a whole lot more to say about this subject. So underneath the poll, you'll see a yellow box. In that yellow box, if you click Give Us Your Opinion, it takes you to my website, AskNick.com.
That's AskNick.com.
See, when I have a cold,
mm-hmm. I won't have to process you now.
Exactly. So far, we've got 14 people. We've all been polite. God bless each and every one of you for being nice and not swearing. And the thing, then come on back to our website and see what we do. Stick around, Ask Nick, and check out what I do as well. We have one more vote for I May Quit.
well, and you can't, because every ISP is starting to put caps on.
Well, so far, Frontier hasn't.
Right.
Well, they've announced they're going to, but they haven't started enforcing it yet.
Right now, Frontier could gain so much by doing nothing.
Well, that's what we said about Time Warner. When Frontier announced their 5-gigabyte cap, we said,
that went by the wayside.
This is a big opportunity for Time Warner to say they don't have any caps.
Well, the thing of it is, though, is DSL, they can't really change the speed anymore because the phone line is the phone line.
Not the speed, but they could change the cap.
But the speed is illusory at best for most people. Yeah. Whether you've got 6 megabits or 10 megabits or 4 megabits, 90% of the time you're waiting for the machine at the other end anyway. Mm-hmm. Unless you're running your own set of servers and then it's upload speed, not download speed, the speed of your internet connection is almost meaningless. Nobody really gets their full 6 right. or 10 or 15 or very few people do, unless you're downloading big things from sites that don't normally get a lot of downloads.
And one thing that folks should start complaining about if they're Roadrunner customers then is, all right, if I'm going to be nickeled and dimed for every bit that I'm downloading, then they better start doing a better job of filtering out all the spam and emails that you get that you didn't ask for.
And all the advertising on websites that I don't want to pay for.
Well, streaming videos.
And that's just it. When you go to a website and they immediately start streaming a video to you, you're paying for that now. Oh, well. You know, that's yours to pay for.
Yep.
Well, there's a... Take a bird's eye view of the situation. To the east of us, we have Fios. To the west of us, we have Fios. And here in Rochester, we get
Fios.
Bad caps.
Yeah, exactly.
There's something wrong with this picture.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and that's part of the problem. It's a monopoly. It's a natural monopoly.
So contact the Public Service Commission.
Right. Well, there are people doing that. StopTheCap.com has all that kind of stuff on it. One of the things that I hear a lot is that, the internet access is like a utility. And we pay for our utilities.
Well, and I like the fact that it's a flat price. I hate getting my phone bill and my gas bill and my electric bill because it's different every month.
Well, but those are utilities, and you pay usage fees for those, so why wouldn't you pay usage fees for internet? Okay, if you want to do that, then two things. First, get yourself regulated like a real utility.
Open yourself up to competition.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, mm-hmm. And be regulated like a utility. And secondly, I don't know, but every time I turn on my faucet, I don't have Nigerians coming in and offering to sell me something. When I open my refrigerator, I don't immediately get a video I didn't want. So it's not like a utility. There's a whole different thing. You're not just getting water. You're not just getting electricity. You're getting a whole bunch of other stuff, too, much of which you never asked for.
Those are all good points.
Yep.
And so until they fix that, I don't know what to say about it.
And there pretty much is no fix for that. Right. Now, if you think about it for a second, most ISPs are already filtering billions of spam messages a day. And we still get how many?
Billions of spam messages a day.
So if they weren't doing any of that filtering at all, it would be even worse.
Right, right.
Well, Nick, you say you get thousands of spams a day.
Every day.
Oh, same here.
I go through Yahoo. I have web-based mail. I get a dozen a day because Yahoo filters them for me.
But my name is everywhere.
Your name is everywhere.
My email address is everywhere.
And you have to be on servers that
right.
And the same with me. You know, I go to various...
Personal use, it's a little different.
Right.
For a business.
It can be a little different.
Yeah, for me, for a business, you know, I've got to register at so many darn websites to get drivers and everything else and parts and all that stuff. I mean, and, you know, they've been leaked out, so
I still
daily.
I love the emails.
3,000 in just the morning is nothing for me.
I love the emails I get from the support team at Jesse Group saying there's a problem with my mail.
You are the support team.
The administrator
says. The administrator says, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Don't forget, at 12:30,
And how long is it to the point of no return?
Yeah, exactly. At 12:30, we'll have Nick Skreptos, who is the CEO and founder of Super Anti-Spyware. We've talked about the software often enough. It's on the Security Tango. Now we get to meet the guy who created it and started the company. He'll be on at 12:30. We're going to take a break. Bunch of people on the line. Probably none of them want to talk about Frontier or Time Warner. But we're going to be back with your phone calls in just a couple of minutes. We have Dave Enright. We have Steve Ray. We have Chris Reich. We have the great Alex Vanderweel. If you're going to call in and talk about Time Warner, keep it clean. Poor Alex is doing enough in there. She doesn't want to have to be jumping for the dump button every minute. If you start getting nasty, we're going to just cut you right off. We don't care. I'm Nick Francesco. It's 16 minutes after the hour. You are listening to the greatest computer show in the known universe. And that is, of course, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Wright.
And I'm Alex Vanderweel.
And at 20 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Before we go to the phone, we have breaking news. According to the folks at StopTheCap.com, the great Phil Dampier, who's on top of all this stuff all the time. We love us some Phil.
Yeah, he was just too busy. I wanted him on the show, but right now he's being asked by everybody to come on and speak. So he said down the road he would come on there.
Yeah. Stop the Cap has learned that Frontier Communications will officially pull the rug out from under Time Warner and announce that it will not be imposing any usage caps or rationing plans in the Metropolitan Rochester service area, giving the DSL provider a potential competitive advantage in the area. If they're smart, that's going to be their ads. No caps. Boom.
And what's their maximum speed?
8 gig, there, 9 gig.
Theoretical DSL. 8 gig.
Yeah.
Okay.
When I joined Frontier, I said, you know, my problem, well, we're going to get to the phones in just a minute, I promise, but let me tell the story again. I'm in an urban neighborhood.
Right.
Everybody around me has Time Warner. I had Time Warner. And for a long time, it was wonderful. And then it started getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And what happens is they have, every neighborhood has what they call a head end. And they add people to the head end. When a head end gets too full, they split it off into another head end.
Much like a cell phone system.
Much like a cell phone system. The problem is, I was down to 400K per second.
Ouch.
Yeah, download speeds. And it was that way for months. And I finally thought, well, so really? I called Frontier and they said, we can guarantee you 4 megabits. Well, it's already 100 times more than I was getting. So I said, well, okay, let's do that. And I get 6. But it's my 6. It never fluctuates.
Right.
When you have Time Warner, you share your internet connection with everybody else at the head end. Mm-hmm. So it fluctuates. 2 a.m, you're getting 10 megabits. At 7 p.m, when the kids are all downloading the latest songs and hacks and this and that, you may only get 6. I get 6 all the time. Right. No one else shares that line with me. So I get 6 megabits all day, all night. And they gave me 50% more than they promised me. So they got a customer. You know, that's the way that works for me. But yes, that's that. So we're going to go to...
That's the whole problem with the big question about Frontier versus Time Warner. It depends too much. You try one, see what you get. Try the other, see what you get.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. And there are a lot of people who can't get Frontier. There are a lot of people who can't get DSL. There are a lot of people who can't get Time Warner. So, you know, it's really a limited area that has competition as such.
Mm.
All right, we really are going to go to the phones now. Our first caller is Bob from Greece, New York. Welcome, Bob. What's your question?
Hi. My question's about the Security Tango. And it says... in the download section to download Super Anti-Spyware and Malware Bytes.
Mm-hmm.
But in the clean section, it never says to run those programs. So should we just run them at the end? Or?
Well, then I'm an idiot. I think that's the only explanation we have here, Bob.
There is no step 6.
Okay, I'll take that.
I am an idiot.
It has to be updated, let's put it that way. It's in the process of change.
How many years did it take you to put Super Anti-Spyware and Malware Bytes in the first place?
Absolutely. They only got in there about 3 weeks ago. So
it's a work in progress, so bear with us.
Really?
We should run those in addition to the others?
No. Wait. What?
In the list then. Yes.
No, they're there.
The short answer is yes.
Reboot and run the Tango in order. There it is. Super Anti-Spyware, Malware Bytes. I see them. Look right at them. They're also in the main thing.
Okay, well, I haven't looked at that since... March 21st, I printed it off, actually.
That's probably about when I changed it.
Right.
So check it again.
Okay. So
I think it was March 22nd you changed it.
Yeah. I think so.
At 12:01.
But all right, so I think we're good now.
Yeah, the short answer is yes, run both of those.
I'm less of an idiot than I thought I was.
CYA.
Exactly. Thanks, Bob. Thanks for pointing out I'm an idiot on the air. Our next caller is Barry from Pittsburgh. Barry, what kind of idiot am I now?
No, that's okay. We all make mistakes.
That's right. We all make mistakes.
Yeah. So,
what's yours?
Mine was loading too much software on my laptop, and I finally had to wind it back this week to day one with the recovery disk. Now, not a problem with backup and all that, but here's the issue. When I put, and this is the fourth time that I've done this, it's an older machine, and when I put my iTunes back on this time, which is where I get all my music, it warned me, this is the fourth out of five times that you can put this on a machine. And I want to know what the fix is for that, because they're all my songs. I bought them all. But how do I get that repaired?
That's not exactly what the message said. The message said this is the fourth of five machines you can put the songs on.
That is exactly right.
Right. And that is a limitation in iTunes. You're only allowed to put the songs you purchase on five computers.
But it's the same machine.
It doesn't know that.
Yeah.
Because the OS has changed, too much has changed about the computer, so it doesn't know this is the same computer. It's the same issue when you install Windows on the same computer again. Sometimes it won't reactivate because it thinks it's a new computer.
So is there anything I can do?
You can go into iTunes, into your account, and under the account settings, there's a reset command.
Okay.
That resets that counter back to zero, and then you activate that one computer again.
Is there any but to that?
You're only allowed to do a master reset once a year, I think it is.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah. It's intended for people that have multiple computers, that you may have a desktop and a laptop, or the kids have a laptop, something like that.
Yeah.
So you're allowed five computers, and the danger comes in if you have to reinstall your computer or you change the hardware, you put a new motherboard in, the software thinks it's a different computer.
Okay, so can you tell me where that button is?
It's in the iTunes store. You log into your account, and it's in account settings somewhere.
Very good.
I'm pretty sure we have a link on our link list on how to reset that.
Okay, I'll look for that.
All right. Okay, thank you.
Yep.
All right.
All righty, thanks. Our next caller is actually going to be Dave from Batavia, who has a comment on Time Warner Cable and promises to keep it clean. Dave, you also have to keep it libel-free.
Say alleged a lot.
Yeah. There's no problem with that, believe me. I'm glad that you brought that up this morning, and if in fact Frontier is going to do that, I applaud them. I live out around in the Batavia area, and somebody had mentioned before as a comment on your end about nickel and diamond things. And, you know, I got to agree with that to an extent. I think they are nickel and diamond, and especially at this time, the way the economy is that everybody talks about. But I called there Friday, and I talked to a customer service person there. They said that it was still up in the air of how they were going to do it and what they were going to allow and not allow and how much each package would include for the downloads that you might have.
Yeah, that's the nice thing they're doing now is they said they're going to study it for a month or so and see what people are using before they decide on what the caps are going to be.
Right. Well, and I mean, honestly, I've already talked to my wife about this, and if it becomes not cost effective for me, I would look at going back to the other telephone company that I was with previously out in this area. And I have that with my cell phones already, so it's not going to really bother me. But I think maybe a lot of people might look upon that and go back to another service for their.
Right.
Their cell
phone. And unfortunately, well, there are some people. Go ahead.
Unfortunately, in a lot of areas, there is
limited
choice.
Choices. Yeah.
Well, one choice you have is Verizon's cell phone. It's slower, and it's $60 a month. But
a 5 gig cap.
Is it?
Yeah. And there's been this stories too. It's a 5 gig cap, and it's .000042 cents per K after 5 gigs. Well, that doesn't sound like much, does it? Until you realize that the average website is several hundred K, and there have been people who have gotten phone bills for several thousand dollars because they didn't realize that .0004 cents per K is a lot of money.
Yeah,
that I did.
What about Clearwire?
Haven't heard if they got
a cap. Yeah, I don't know about them yet.
But they have limits because it's line of sight broadcast.
Right.
So there are alternative internet service providers, but they all have limits of some sort. And whether you can get DSL is based on your distance, your Time Warner is based on your head end. So right. You may only have one or two choices, and they're all bad.
I want my files. All right, we're gonna take another break. We will be back in just a couple of minutes. Don't forget, when we come back, the hope is that we will have Nick Skreptos, who is the founder of Super Anti-Spyware. He's going to tell us all about his product and how it works and what it does, and then we will go back to your calls, questions, comments, suggestions, questions you have about stuff, comments about Time Warner, suggestions about Time Warner, if you keep them clean. We have Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, Alex Vanderweel. I'm Nick Francesco. You continue to listen to the greatest computer show in the known universe, and we remain, as always, Sound Bites, right here on 1180 WHAM. Stay tuned. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Wright.
And I'm Alex Vanderweel.
And at 35 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. Right now, we're going to take a little break from talking about the Time Warner bandwidth cap brouhaha. And again, excuse me, I'm not well. And we're going to take a few minutes to talk to Mr. Nick Skreptos. He is the founder of Super Anti-Spyware. We talk about it all the time. We recommend it. It's part of the Security Tango. And he's on the line with us right now. May I call you Nick, sir?
Yes, you may. How's it going?
Welcome, Nick. I'm Nick, too.
All right. Makes it easy to remember.
Exactly. Welcome to the show. Now, let me preface this by saying that Super Anti-Spyware is one of the pro... I have a site called the Security Tango at securitytango.com. And one of the programs that I recommend that people use to clean off their machines when they think they've got a security breach is Super Anti-Spyware. So we are here very familiar with the program, and we like it.
Yeah, I founded it, what was it, about 2 years ago? Was that sound about right, Nick?
It's actually a little over 3 years old.
Yeah. Okay, well, I happened to stumble upon it about 2 years ago.
I actually heard one of the shows that I was... looking for when we were looking at shows was some guy calling up and recommending it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we actually got it from one of our users.
Excellent.
So tell us a little bit about the company. Tell us a little bit about the product.
Okay, Super Anti-Spyware. The company is superadblocker.com, a little over 5 years old. Super Anti-Spyware itself was first integrated in Super Adblocker, then pulled out into a standalone because everybody wanted the standalone cleaning application, of course. And basically we have over 15 million users now. And detect and remove over 1 million threats.
Nice.
That's you know, and we constantly update the database basically every 8 hours to keep people protected. We're constantly farming and harvesting new samples at the rate of about 10 to 20,000 a week to keep users protected.
Wow. So you guys are very serious about this.
We are absolutely serious about it. It's a dedicated team that this is what we do. Yeah, this isn't a garage thing that people are doing because we're bored or anything else. This is our business. This is what we do.
Nice. Now, you guys have both a free version.
Yep.
And a pay version. How's that working out?
It's working out great. Basically, the free version scans and removes the same as the professional edition, and that way people can actually see that it's going to do the job. It's going to cure their infection. It's going to clean the computer. Then basically they'll see that, hey, I can protect myself from getting into this state. With the professional, which gives you real-time protection, the ability to do scheduled scanning, meaning you can say, scan my computer at 2 a.m. every day, and something we call first-chance prevention, which basically scans 50 critical points of your computer every time your computer starts to make sure nothing's hooked itself in and is ready to launch without you knowing it.
Excellent. So when you have the pay version, when you have the free version, it's manual. You have to do everything yourself, yep. And you're not fully protected at boot up.
Right.
But when you have the pay version, then it does all of that for you.
Yep, and it automatically, every 8 hours, it goes and checks for new program updates, new definition updates, downloads and applies them. With the free version, you basically have to click the check for updates button before you scan to make sure you have the latest definitions. You know, sometimes people forget to do that, and so having the professional where it automatically does that is a real benefit to people.
Right. One of the things that we... recommend on the Security Tango website is that people try the free versions and then pay for it if they can.
Well, every machine that I build, Nick, I wind up putting on the AVG, your super anti-spyware, and malware bytes. That is standard procedure that I put on every machine that I build that goes out to my customers. Like I say, on our Soundbite CD, we also include it free for folks to try out, and we highly recommend it because, like I say, your program has pulled a lot of stuff, like you said, the millions of stuff it has found over the past few years that I've been using it has been great. It speeds people's machines up, and they're like, have it.
And to segue back to our last topic, you get infected with spyware. That's part of your cap.
That's exactly right. We've been talking about the proposed Time Warner usage cap.
And of course,
if you have a spyware on your machine, if you're part of a botnet, there goes your cap.
Oh, absolutely, yeah, or definitely, and those things download tons of stuff, too, as well, if they're you know, part of a P2P, you know, wares type situation, they can download things to store on your computer to be able to serve them to others, and, you know, you're going to blow through, you know, 100 gigs or whatever their current cap is instantly.
Right. Now, in the Security Tango, I've got maybe four or five different products that I have people use because over time, I've discovered that none of them captures everything. But what I am discovering is that Super Anti-Spyware makes at least a couple of the others redundant.
Yeah, and that's the reality is it sounds like the setup you're using is perfect because each of those products, every product has their strong suit. You know, AVG is great at antivirus.
Right.
You know, Malwarebytes is great at cleaning up the traces and such. They do a great job at that. We focus more kind of on the heart of the infection, like the real tough rootkits.
Right.
And, you know, these new infections that overwrite user init.exe, which is a critical file.
Yes, right.
To boot. If that's overwritten and you remove that, the machine's done as far as the user is concerned.
Yeah, we got to... pull it out. We literally have to pull the hard drive out, put it on a test bench, and put the user init back in manually.
Yep. Now our new version that we just released a couple weeks ago, the 4.26 version, actually handles that for you and will replace that and fix that. You know, and so, you know, like you said, no single product can get everything, and we fully realize that, and that's why we designed Super Anti-Spyware not to interfere with your current antivirus, whatever it may be, your current other anti-spyware, whatever it may be.
Right.
So this gives the user the ability to have multiple layers, so to speak, of protection between the infection and your system.
Of course,
really the only way in today's industry to, you know, to be able to,
you know, it's good to hear somebody who says, I know that other alternatives are out there and will work with them. I love to hear that.
Hey, the one bad thing, though, is he's cutting down our billable hours.
No.
For you guys.
In reality. I was coming out so fast, there's no way that we're going to be able to keep up with everything. People are still going to bring that machine to you.
No, I still have the picnic effect in play.
That's right.
Problem in chair, not in computer.
Exactly. Yep.
Pepcac. Problem exists between keyboard and chair.
Or picnic.
Yeah, I mean, that's just the bottom line. You know, people say with Vista, and Vista's done a great job of kind of thwarting some of the threats. Users are the people in control.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like, you know, you tell people, you know, drugs are bad. Don't do drugs. Well, why do people still do drugs? Because it's the people that are doing it, not the, you know, not the drugs, so to speak. And it's the same with spyware. You know, spyware can say, you need to click this to watch this movie. Well, people cannot not click that.
Yes.
And,
yes.
You know, so we try to educate as well when we do our support with people. We really try to educate people. It's kind of like, you know, Would you take a cookie from a stranger? No. Would you take a cookie from your grandmother who you know? Yes. Well, apply that same procedure to what you do on the internet. If you don't know something or something sounds too good to be true, walk away from it.
Now, yes. Excellent advice. Excellent advice. Now, the important question is there going to be a version for Linux and for the Mac?
Right now, those markets for us aren't quite big enough.
Right.
You know, and also the infection base isn't big enough. So kind of what the natural progression is, just like with all versions of Windows and other operating systems I've been involved in over the last 25 years, is as the things grow and there's more of a market, then the spyware writers will start to target it. Right now, spyware is really targeting, you know, XP Vista because those are the, you know, biggest market segments. And, you know, spyware is a business. So they're approaching it from a business aspect just like we are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so just like Firefox doesn't have as many, you know, points of infection as IE, Well, not because it's not possible. It's because it doesn't have the widespread, as widespread as IE, even if it's 30% of the market. Well, there's still 60% of, you know, 800 million computers that are running IE.
Right.
That's who the people go after.
Right.
Yeah, are you going to break into the house with the door open or the one with the dog out front growling at you?
Exactly. You know, so... And so we'll see. We'll see what happens here. You know, as Apple's getting more popular, as Linux is becoming more popular on some of these lower-end systems and easy-to-install systems, maybe there'll be a market for it.
Well, I think that's great. This has been a fascinating interview. Now, what's next on your plate?
Yeah.
Basically, what's next on our plate is we've got our enterprise version coming out, and we've got some TechBench editions coming out where people can, you know, plug a USB drive in, it'll automatically scan, and so people that don't understand installation and what do I need to do, it's going to be a real easy situation for them, because there's kind of two classes of users, meaning there's the more technically minded user,
right,
and there's the user that says, I don't know what's going on. You know, my computer's not running like it should.
Yep.
So we're going to try to kind of form the tools to be able to help these people. You know.
Well, when you need beta testers, give us a call. One of the things that we've talked about forever is figuring out a way to put the Security Tango on a bootable CD,
sure,
so that it runs automatically, so that if you're infected, it's not in your machine when you run the Tango.
Right. That's one of the things that we're looking at with our tech editions, is being able to be on something like a BART PE CD or something like that,
right.
Where it can boot and do the scan and removal without really having to be quote-unquote installed and on the machine. You know, being able to mount the remote registry hives and clean the registry without actually being on the physical machine.
Exactly.
That would be cool.
That's the best way to do it. And to be able to do that portably would be great. Well,
yes.
Nick, unfortunately, this music means that this segment is over. We could talk to you for a day and a half.
Well, we'll set him up and have him on again.
Well, next time I want to talk about the F-14 Tomcat and programming the Apple II and assembler.
Awesome. I'm happy to talk about that.
Those are the things I want to talk about. And hey, it's our show. We can do what we want. Nick Skreptos Super Anti-Spyware. Thank you so very much. You were great. We really appreciate it.
Touch you again.
It's superantispyware.com. We're going to take another break. When we come back, we'll get right to your phone calls. People have been patiently waiting on the line. We are Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, the mighty Alex Vanderweel, and me, Nick Francesco. It is 46 minutes after the hour, and when we come back, we will still be the greatest computer show in the known universe. We are Soundbites. We are Soundbites. I'm Wham! Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Wright.
And I'm Alex Vanderweel.
At 50 minutes after the hour, we're right back to the phones. Our first caller after that great interview with Nick Skreptos, great interview, is Paul from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Paul. What's your question?
Hi, guys. I have a home XP machine, Windows XP Service Pack 3, that upon boot was giving me an error. The registry cannot load the Hive, H-I-V-E file. System root, system 32, config / software. So I was able through a recovery console to replace the software file with the one off the system disk. And now I can boot the machine. So my question is there a way that you know that I can restore back to my original registry file that apparently got corrupted, or one previous to that?
Can you get into safe mode?
I can get into the. I'm actually in Windows itself.
It's maybe too late now.
Yeah, but can you get once you get into there? Can you go into accessories and then under system tools, system restore?
Yeah.
And is there older restore points?
No, there's nothing out there.
Yeah, you had to have done this before you did the system restore.
Unless, because they are in there and they might be. Now, did it wipe the whole machine or you just did an install over?
No, I haven't done anything yet. I just there was a.
Because see, what would have to be happening is if you take it into a shop, if they're still there, we pull the hard drive out and I can go, you know, look into a system volume folder and look for an older date.
Yeah, isn't there user.back and isn't that the registry files themselves backed up automatically?
Well, there's depending if you got auto restore on, yes, there's literally dates, you know, that you can go do it. But if he's not seen on the calendar, it might be corrupted. They might still be there.
Well, he said he never did any of that, so he may not have ever turned that on.
Yeah,
it doesn't look like auto restore was on.
The short answer, I'm afraid, is probably not at that point.
So it's reinstall XP.
Yep.
Sorry, Paul.
Okay, no, will that affect any of my data files out there?
Not the data.
All right.
Your applications will need to be replaced if on the other hand, if you can boot the machine, the first thing you should do is back up all your data anyway.
Okay. And just reinstall Windows right over top of the old Windows.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right.
But if he's not able to get into Windows...
I'm in.
Yeah.
Back him up.
Yeah, back everything up, and then you can do whatever you want with it.
Okay, and what service pack do you recommend for XP?
Service Pack 3.
Yeah,
a lot can depend on your hardware. Depending on how old your hardware is, you may need to update drivers before you load Service Pack 3.
I'm running 3 now, so...
Okay, you should be good.
Yep.
All right, thanks a lot.
Thanks. All right, our next caller, Alex from Irondequoit, New York. Welcome, Alex. What's your question?
Hi, guys. Great show today. Thanks for all the help.
Sure.
I got a couple of applications that are hanging on me. They are AIM and iTunes. When I open them up, they just hang. I have to go into the task manager and shut them down. They do show up in processes as if they're kind of running, but I can't get them to do anything. So one of the things I tried was going into safe mode, and they both work in safe mode. So I went back in, I stripped all my antivirus stuff out, shut down all the firewalls, stripped everything out. They still don't work. So I'm kind of hung up with what to do to get them back working.
Uninstall and reinstall?
Yeah.
Yeah, I tried that with AIM. I stripped it off. I loaded the most current version, and it still doesn't work.
Yeah, but what did you use to uninstall it?
The Windows hardware.
Yeah, manager. No. The thing you want to do is go get the program called Revo. R-E-V-O.
Okay. At RevoUninstaller.com.
And download that. Use that to uninstall your programs. Windows does, how can I politely put it?
A crappy job.
Thank you. Of uninstalling stuff. Because all it does is turn off a bit in the registry, and it still leaves all that bulk. So go get Revo.
See, that was polite. Bulk.
Thank you.
It's full of bulk.
Yep. And use that to uninstall.
Okay.
And then try it.
Okay. Now, this is probably a stupid question, but my kids are worried that if I uninstall iTunes, we're going to lose all our music. But I'm sure that's not the case, right?
Yeah, the music is all kept in a separate folder in your My Music folder.
Right, that's what I thought. I just want to make sure before I uninstall.
CYA.
I'll give that a shot.
And
by the way, you can back up that My Music folder.
Yeah.
And you should.
Right. Which I do. Yeah.
And both AIM and iTunes have several background processes running apart from the main application. iTunes has an update checker and a sync checker, and then AIM has a message checker. So even when the main program is not running, you'll find processes for those programs in your process manager.
Right.
Yeah, when I see them in there, there's a helper and all kinds of stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
All right.
Hey, quick comment on Frontier. I'm Frontier all the way. Love it. I get the full Monty with them. I must be close enough to there.
There you go. See?
There you go.
It depends on where you are. Yeah. And I'm sure they're going to be upgrading all their stuff, too. All right.
So. Thank you very
much. Thanks, Alex. Oh, and before we go on, I do want to say one of our listeners called in to remind us that Earthlink is another alternative that does not have a cap.
Earthlink is very ironic. You get Earthlink DSL and Frontier provides it. You get Earthlink cable and Time Warner provides it.
Right.
And for your convenience, Time Warner will bill you for your Earthlink services.
Isn't that nice?
So it's very strange how they can offer different services than the company they're buying.
So you can
from.
Keep your cable, get it from Earthlink, get the same speed, not have the cap.
It's the same way RG&E provides your gas line to your house, but somebody else provides the gas.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, our next caller is Bill from Greece. Welcome, Bill. What's your question? You got about 2 minutes. Go for it.
Hey, my kids are constantly playing role-playing games like Call of Duty. Do I have to worry about violating that cap with that?
Oh, yes.
Yep.
Hell yes.
Everything you do online, any page you download, any page you look at, any video you download, any game you play, that's all part of your internet usage.
We were in Second Life on Friday, and I used about 100 meg up and downloads.
We were only in there for a couple hours.
But we're going to be able to find this out by going to the Time Warner webpage, and it'll tell us what our average monthly...
Well, it sounds like it's not going to be an issue now.
That's the theory.
Well, they should provide you something like that. There's no guarantee they will. They could just wait till you get your bill at the end of the month.
I thought I read that they were going to actually show it and have it
on a
website.
They're going to have a meter that will be available to you. Before they initiate the cap, you'll have time to see what your normal cap is.
But if Phil's site is correct, this isn't null and void now?
No. That's Frontier. Frontier is not going to have a cap.
Oh, okay.
Time Warner still has a cap. What Frontier is saying is, hey, come with us, we don't have a cap.
Frontier said they weren't thinking about having a cap. It doesn't mean they're not going to change their mind.
Again, because they already were going to have a cap and have changed their mind to not have a cap.
But Frontier says they said they will be officially announcing that they are not going to have a cap.
Who is that?
And no rash plan.
Until they change their mind again.
In the metropolitan Rochester area code 585 service.
All right,
area.
Does anybody want to take some bets? What Time Warner might do now?
Nothing. This comes out of corporate. You have to remember.
Go test another city.
But the point is, you have to remember that they're a publicly traded company.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And which means they have only one customer.
Yep.
The shareholder.
Mm-hmm.
We, who we think of as customers, we're the product they bring to their real customer, the shareholders. So what they need, they're going to be making sure that their shareholders are happy.
So if we all become shareholders,
you're never going to become that big a shareholder.
Well, unfortunately.
That's how that's going to work.
So then you can pay yourself out of your cable bill. You get it as your share dividend.
It's taking it from one pocket, putting it in another.
Yeah.
Much still be in the hole.
So my $50, my $50 cable bill goes to my 2 cent share dividend.
Right.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, there are places that do that. They have co-op phone systems in certain counties in the world. You pay a certain amount of money, and you are a part owner of that phone company or that cable company or that water co-op or whatever it happens to be.
Maybe that's where
the neighbor calls you to get it fixed? Because you're the owner.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you actually hire some guy who's making less than you, who's probably also part owner.
Yep.
All right, I'm afraid that we are done for another week. I want to apologize to everyone to whom we did not get. I want to thank everyone who called in.
Apple Cider Meeting this Wednesday, 7 o'clock, East High School.
Lugar, April 16th. You need to be there.
What's the topic?
The topic is OpenStreetMap.
Very nice. All right. We're done for another week. Thank you all so much. Join us online, of course, for all the things that we do in Second Life and every place else. I'm Nick Francesco with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, the mighty Alex Vanderweel, who does such terrific work. It is 59 minutes after the hour. We want to thank you for listening once again to the greatest computer show in the known universe. And that, of course, is Soundbites right here on 1180 WHAM.